Hi, I'm Nancy Harrison, and I'm mostly not speaking to you because what I'm doing here is encouraging the people to who haven't turned in their pledge cards yet to do so. And those of you who have turned in your pledge cards, maybe I can encourage you to change them. That is in the upward direction. So, why do I give to this church? I've got a lot of reasons. Like Diana said, I give to this church because it feels like home and family to me. Like Karen, I give because I've received support from it when I face the same life changes that all of us will deal with, and I know I'm going to need more. Like Jennifer, I give because I'm a responsible person. And those are all good reasons to give. I'm going to give you a couple more. One of them is very primitive. Some of you might remember Mel Brooks's 2,000-year-old man. When the 2,000-year-old man was asked to explain the origin of God, he said that early humans originally worshipped a fellow named Phil. Phil was big and mean, and he got everyone to do what he wanted. Then one day, Phil was struck by lightning. The people gathered around and saw that he was dead. And that's when they realized there was something bigger than Phil. For as long as there have been human beings, we've sought comfort in each other's company, huddled around fires a bit larger than our chalice. Just like my ancestors, I'm subject to fears of disaster, big and small. I want a place where I can hold hands with others, sing chants and songs, maybe crack some jokes, and keep each other's spirits high. That's a big, deep, primitive reason that I give. It's not a reason I think about very often, but it's very real. It's comforting to believe in a loving God, but lots of stuff that's bigger than Phil can be really scary. When I think about the immensity of the universe, I feel gratitude that it provides my sun, my beautiful sustaining earth, but I also feel extremely small and insignificant and helpless. The more I learn about space, the more I know how cold and hostile it is. One day, not only will you and I die, but so will our sun and our whole solar system. And in the meantime, the universe could hurl a big asteroid our way for no reason at all. And that is very scary stuff. Closer to home, my life is very good. But I know there's no guarantee against disaster. We could have a really big earthquake. We could find ourselves dealing with terrorists or a mass shooting right here at home. Some power mad or extra greedy men could bring down our whole economy for years, taking us all down with it. Those things could happen. This church, this congregation, provides comfort and love and support that help me face even big existential fears. I'm comforted by the knowledge that we are all in whatever happens together. I would hate to face disaster alone. Faced with a disaster, I'm pretty sure that most of us would make a good try to show up on Sunday service, to sing, offer comfort, maybe form another committee. I want this church to continue strong and healthy so that it will be here whenever we need it, and so I give what I can. Now, those things could be true of any church that was made up of nice, reasonable people. But my second reason is that I love this religion even more than I love this church. I consider myself an atheist, but it's very important to me to have an opportunity and a place to deal with questions about something bigger than Phil. The universe is indeed way bigger than Phil, but does it make sense to worship it or sing songs of praise to it? Should I pray to protect my friends and my family, my country, my world? Should I pray at all? Or just allow myself to fully experience my feelings of gratitude, fear, and want? Maybe sometimes share those feelings with other people. This religion doesn't give answers. It lets us grapple with the questions and try to find something that works for each of us. This religion treats people as adults rather than children to be comforted by myths and promises of magic. Instead of demanding faith and belief in the unbelievable, it offers support to our search for truth and comfort. This sensible, non-authoritarian, non-absolutist religion isn't perfect, but as it's evolved from its beginnings, I think it's as close as anyone has ever come. And it's a religion that keeps improving because that's the way it's built. I believe this religion, this church, and the people in this church provide a structure and setting that promotes love and caring and justice and morality. And I believe this religion makes my world a better place, this church makes my community a better place, and the people in the church make each of us better people. Those are beliefs that make me want to brag about this religion and this church. They make me proud and even eager to give to this church and to the UUA and the PCD, who are going to help us in our search for our new minister. I hope that something I've said will encourage you to brag about this church. Turn in your pledge if you haven't already done it, and maybe even give a bit more if you have.
My kneecap dislocating in dance class. This congregation's longtime minister announcing her departure. I don't know about you, but right now in my life, there are perhaps a few too many reminders of how we all just truly dwell in between. One moment, there was music and a live drummer drumming my fellow dancers and I along in our West African funk class. Deep breathing. Intense focus, stringing together the different dance moves, moving different body parts. Bend, twist, lean, shrug, tilt, and then the slide of my kneecap dislocating, and the plop as I fell to the floor. No matter how strong you are, we are fragile. Much of our culture invests a great deal in having us forget or deny this vulnerability. Buy this, eat that, eat this, buy that, and of course, do not forget to wash it down with a nice, cool whatever. The truth is, though, we are not either strong or weak, robust or fragile. We are both and always in between. And the more that we love and care, the more that we cultivate lives filled with abundant preciousness, I think the more these standard ways of thinking, this kind of either-or thinking, well, it fails us. Life is not black or white, up or down, in or out. Well, except for kneecaps. Kneecaps are definitely either in or out. Life itself is the place in between. Getting around on crutches, which I will be doing for 6 more weeks, I find myself either hoping for folks to help or asking for folks to do things like open doors or bring the coffee cup to the table. I am just ever more aware of how much I exist in between other people. What other people decide, what their level of compassion is in a particular moment, that impacts me so greatly right now. But it always impacts us, I guess. So I wonder, in your life right now, how are you in between? What does that feel like? Are you rushing to get to a place where you think you will not need to feel so in between? Could we all just breathe into exactly where we are and accept that which we cannot change, accept this in-betweenness? accept this messy, messy thing we call life, that we call church. I hope we can breathe and accept and be compassionate. As you're listening to this, I imagine I am on my couch, breathing, hopefully, existing in this post-surgical limbo of injury and health. And I am working to accept that whether I am boogieing in a dance class or doing physical therapy exercises on the couch, I am always in between. And whether Reverend Katie Kandarian Morris is the minister here, or whether Reverend To Be Determined is the minister, Star King Church is always here, doing the ministry of the in-between.
There you go. Thank you. Oh God, there is in this precious world so much that bewilders and challenges us. The shifting ground during the dark night of the soul, the numbing loss of a loved one that deadens the drift of days, the shadow side of this greening season that will not keep it so, the sudden mistake, accident, or illness that changes everything, the aching pain in the beloved that we cannot soothe, the rending of the earth and the rising of waves, wrecking lives, the taste of ashes where delicate flavors once delighted, the driving compulsion that overwhelms the healthy impulse, the dreams forsaken and the hopes denied, the inhumanity justified by service to the holy, the good intentions that produce unintended consequences.
This last Thursday, we observed the movement of the sun that obliges the northern hemisphere to celebrate the vernal equinox. It's spring, the place between the summer and the winter solstice, in between summer and winter holidays. It's a time when we are in between many of the things that seem more sure, that feel more certain. And as we've been talking about, there is much here right now where we feel that in-betweenness. Some of the folks here have been spending some of this time in the 40 days between Mardi Gras and Easter, greeting and escorting patients at the Planned Parenthood just down the street from us. We're responding to the request of the staff at the clinic to offer some help and support during a time that's been difficult for them at Planned Parenthood as they receive protesters outside their clinic, and we can respond offering a welcome, a witness, a reminder that we stand on the side of love. Reverend Darcy talks about what happens there. She said the patients feel particularly vulnerable as they enter that in-between place that's the street and the parking lot. Patients slow down as they turn to go into the parking lot, and then at that moment of slowing down to cross the threshold, protesters wave kindly and pass literature through the car windows to folks then who don't want to be rude. As greeters and escorts, we Star King folks are signing up to hold our ground in that in-between place of the parking lot, to smile and wave patients in, to be compassionate and caring companions dwelling in between. It's an opportunity for us to witness to our values, to participate in our own current UU study action item, to acknowledge how our reproductive rights and health services are seriously under attack. It lets us dwell in the sometimes uncomfortable space that recognizes the broader analysis of racial, economic, cultural, and structural constraints on women's power. The right to have children, to not have children, and to parent children in safe and healthy environments is a human right. We dwell in this place. And for all of us here, it's a place where we know that it won't be too long before I go. Sometimes it can seem uncomfortable, to address where we've been, what we've come through, where you will go from here. We dwell between. But we're always here, aren't we? We're always here now. Always a bit uncomfortable in this very moment, wondering if maybe before this or after that might be the place. Let us tentatively venture into the boldness that is now, as it's all we've really got. Let us be glad for the opportunity. Each breath until the next.
Between the light and the darkness we dwell, knowing both joy beyond measure and trouble beyond imagining. Keep us as we would keep each other, knowing that we belong together and that we do not walk through the valley of the shadows. We need not do so alone. Help us to be that good companion. Amen.